I'm Marianne Williamson.
Jack Canfield.
Saban Fusome.
I'm Doreen Virtue.
My name is Miguel Ruiz.
Hi, I'm Carolyn Mace.
This is James Van Praagh, and you're listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman.
Keep doing what you're doing, Greg, balancing the negative radio broadcast with positive energy.
Welcome. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX 93.5 FM, community-supported radio in Laguna Beach, California. You know, we say this every single week. You are the magic. We just help you realize it. This show is all about you. We offer up pathways and possibilities. We don't tell you what to do, how to do it. All we do is say, hey, check this out. If it works for you, groovy. And if it doesn't, that's lovely too. But understand, happiness takes courage and love takes courage. And all I'm asking you to do is come with us on an inner journey.
After all the jets are in the boxes, and the clowns have all gone to bed, you can hear happiness staggering on down the street. Footprints dressed in red, and the wind whispers merrily. A broom is drearily sweeping up the broken pieces of yesterday's life. Somewhere a queen is weeping, but somewhere a king has no wife. And the wind, it cries very.
You know, you've heard me say it 1,000 times. I don't care how much you flap your arms and kick your feet. If you are still holding on to that side of the pool, you ain't swimming. You know, I was asked to talk today about letting go. And letting go has so many different facets, so many different connotations. Letting go could refer to allowing yourself to grieve over somebody that's passed away. Letting go could mean I'm going to matriculate from high school to college, college to a job or grad school. It means letting go could mean a divorce. Letting go could mean watching your child go across the monkey bars without you grabbing onto them and making sure that they don't fall. Whatever it is, letting go is one of the keys to happiness in this world. You have to accept that things are as they are in order to let go. You can't be in denial and still let go. I'm going to release this. I'm going to set this free. And the real key to doing that is to understand that letting go is simply about having. If you are going to actually let go, release, you're going to allow into your life what is necessary. Because at the end of the day, in every single moment, the universe hates a void. In order to have, you must release. In order to release, you must be ready to have. So what I'm asking you this evening, very, very simply is, are you willing to receive? And it may seem like a very simple question with a very simple answer, but most of us struggle our entire lives to allow ourselves to receive love, happiness, joy, peace. So once again, I'm going to ask you, are you ready? Are you willing to receive? And we'll be back with more Inner Journey right after this.
Take me to heart. I'll always love you. And nobody can make me do wrong now. But take me for granted, leaving love unshown now. Make willpower weak now and temptation strong. A woman's only human, should understand. She's not just a plaything, she's flesh and blood, just like her man. If you wanna do if you wanna do
baby. Welcome back. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX 93.5 FM, community-supported radio in Laguna Beach. And is as is often the case, we are here with Susan Huff. Good evening, Susan.
Hi, Greg.
Well, Susan, tell the listeners, in case they don't know who you is, a little bit about who you are and what you do, if you would.
I'm Susan Huff, and I do couple different things. One of them is I have a business called Living Your Gifts, and I also do a nonprofit called Wisdom Spring and Walking for Water.
So what do you do with Living Your Gifts?
Living Your Gifts, I see clients, I run retreats, I'm going to France, and
I'm sorry, what?
I'm going to France, and I'm pretty darn excited about it, and going to be teaching the African medicine wheel that Sobhanfu Somme that I trained with.
Groovy, and there's an ugly rumor that you're going to be traveling to a different country with me as well later in the year?
India. Well, we're really excited about India. I can't wait to teach there and teach with you, and we're going to have a good time.
Yeah, it's going to be a really cool conference. It's the Thrive Conference, and we are being flown out there to give talks, each of us, and then together we get to teach a workshop, which should be just really cool.
We have fun. And then we get to do the other part of my life, which is putting the water wells in India, and then going to put one in Nepal, too.
Yeah, that should be just off the charts. All right. We have people, we have listeners with their email questions. You want to jump in?
Sure.
Whew. This one is from James in Rhode Island. Says, I just put a deposit down on a ring. And am all of a sudden noticing all kinds of things that are really bugging me about my girlfriend. Can you help me understand what's going on?
Ooh, I think you might be getting a little bit scared of a commitment there. And that you're really going for this deeper intimacy. So I think it's about giving yourself a break, acknowledging that you're feeling uncomfortable, having conversations with the people that you really trust around how you're feeling. And hopefully, if you bought the ring, she's the right one, and you go for it.
Oh, no, he didn't. It said he put a deposit down. Oh. He hasn't purchased it yet.
Oh, we haven't purchased. Well, then maybe take your time to figure out if you should.
Okay, wait. The deciding factor is how much he's paid thus far? Is that
well,
what you're saying?
I don't know if I think that's a deciding factor, but if he's put the deposit down and he's still wavering, like, you know, take time to really sit with what's going on and what's being stirred up.
Yeah, to me it comes down to one of two things. And it's you're too close to the mirror to know, and you need to get some help and get some perspective. Is this fear-based or is this gut intuitive-based? In other words, look, you just up the ante. You raise the stakes incredibly. Are you acting now out of fear and terrified of commitment, as Susan suggested? Or is it that now that this is for real, you're looking at all of these things and those issues that you went, oh, that's no big deal. Now that you're thinking about them for a lifetime, maybe they are a big deal. But I'm going to tell you this. You are way too close to that mirror to be able to recognize which is which. And you need some help to get some perspective.
Yeah, and you may need rituals, too, to cut cords with other people and just to make sure you're really in aligned with the way your heart's calling you to do a marriage.
Yeah. Now, we have a pastor coming on a little bit later.
Yes, we do.
And I may have to save this next question, but we're going to tease both the audience and maybe Pastor Rod now. We have Meredith from Mission Viejo, and she asks, I hear people praise spiritualism and put down dogma a lot, but I'm not really clear on the distinction between the two. Please shed some light. So now, Susan, are we going to save this and talk to Pastor Rod about this in a little bit?
I think we should bring him in on this discussion.
Right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know.
Rod.
The man looks otherwise occupied.
I think he can handle it.
You think he can handle
it? Yeah, since he's my pastor, I kind of know he can.
All right, so we're going to give you a proper introduction in a little bit, but for the moment, Rod, welcome to Inner Journey.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
All right. You heard the question, but I'm going to repeat it regardless.
Mm-hmm.
I hear people praise spiritualism and put down dogma a lot, but I'm not really clear on the distinction between the two. Please shed a light.
Well, I think the writer makes a very large point about the sort of similarity between dogma and spirit, which is that there are principles. One of their commonalities is that whether you're talking about dogma or you're talking about spirituality, usually each can be governed by a set of principles. And so in that way, there could be similarity in function. Now, when it comes to dogma, typically there's an authority of some type that people are either not in favor of or have some concerns about or just can't get with. But really, when you think about it, spirit also has its authoritarian principles. For me, they're love, they're grace, they're joy, and they're peace.
All right. Susan?
I mean, how can you go after that? That's all I can say. I mean, for me, I think for me to just, it's about feeling mm-hmm. that love, feeling that grace, and being connected would be the spirit part. And the dogma, you know, I don't really think a lot about it, except I know that I'm drawn to be with people who really don't see religions as all that different, and that there's this core essence that comes along with just knowing that if we all just see it as loving each other and being present, we would have a lot less problems in the world.
Yeah. I have a very simple response to this. Spiritualism is in everything. Dogma is simply a structure for you to build your own personal foundation and your own belief system and to express it within that structure. No more, no less. And not one structure is right and another wrong. It's simply which one resonates with your soul.
Yeah, I agree with that. And so from my perspective, being a progressive pastor, I sort of have this weird dance in my life between dogma and spirituality. Mm-hmm. Because on the one hand, I do believe in a higher authority, which is my dogma, if you will. But I'm also operated by some very real principles about life and spirit that I believe are enlivened and embodied in all of us, whether we're Christians, non-faith, Muslim, Tao, it doesn't matter. So for me, I see a real universality of spirit, but also a true particularity of dogma.
I love it. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to be back with more Inner Journey with Greg Friedman. And we're going to introduce Pastor Rod properly in just a moment. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX 93.5 FM, community-supported radio in Laguna Beach. I don't care how much you flap your arms and kick your feet, if you are still holding on to the side of the pool, you ain't swimming.
What if the sun don't rise when it's supposed to? The birds stop flying. When will the air turn thicker than water? If you love me, why am I dying? What if the sun don't rise when it's supposed to? What if the birds stop flying? When will the air turn thicker than water? Thicker than water? Drilling all my oil for gas to get your car to speed. Killing all God's creatures for a jacket you don't need. Making up new poisons just to throw them in the sea. Burning down the jungle so you get your burgers cheap. What if the rain don't fall when it has to? What if the bays start drying? Gentle nature's wounded bear. This is not the way to treat this life or death or hell. Nuking everything in sight, trying to keep peace. Maybe if you keep this up, I'll terminate the lease. What if the sun don't rise when it's supposed to? What if the birds
Welcome back. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX 93.5 FM, community-supported radio in Laguna Beach, California. And this evening, we have somebody local. It's amazing to me how many guests that we have on and how few are actually from here in Laguna Beach. We have the Reverend Rod Eccles. He is the new-ish minister of the Neighborhood Congregational Church, holds a Master of Divinity from Boston University, and has done really, and this is the beautiful thing I have witnessed about what you do. You have done so many things to grow community, not only within your congregation, but, I don't know, more importantly, but also importantly, within this town. You have done so many things to reach, to build bridges where there weren't any, and to help people understand the pathway is not such a long distance, and to invite them to come walk with you. Rod, thanks very much for joining us.
It's a true honor to be here. Thank you, Greg.
All right. You know where I begin is the first question I ask every single person. We have had everybody in the cousin. We've had shaman and medicine men and authors and artists, people of service, pretty much every different walk of life and different expression. To a person, there was an event or a series of events that really thrust them on their path. I'm assuming that's true of you, and if so, what happened?
I appreciate the question. I'll try to give you the radio version. I don't have all night.
All right.
So here's the best I can do. I have a love and an appreciation for the writings of Lao Tzu, the father of Taoism, and one of his amazing quotes focuses on the fact that reality is reality. We can't ignore what's happened, and we look forward with optimism and openness to the future. And so, in my experience, I see there is a true foundation from which I've come. I'm a kid from the South. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. I grew up in a very conservative evangelical Baptist background. Mm-hmm. And so that teaching gave me an appreciation for God, for higher power, for spirit, also for family and community. But at the same time, when I went to college in New England at Brown, I had a chance to expand my thinking and my thought about other religions and folks of no faith. Mm-hmm. I started to develop an appreciation. I had a professor who was of no faith, but also was curious about my faith, my evangelical faith. Mm-hmm. And we just sat down and we started talking about things like salvation and redemption and politics and the civil rights movement, the history of this country, racism, homophobic thought, all the things that go with it. And through our conversation, she looked at me and she said, "You aren't an evangelical. That's how you were taught to believe. Your heart says something different. Your spirit is wider. Your feeling is universal. And your wisdom cuts across boundaries. It builds bridges, as you said before." Mm-hmm. And so I started to have this transformation in my mind, this thinking that I could be both a progressive and a Christian or religious person at the same time. And it set off a whole cascade of events that have brought me to this point in my life.
And before that, you felt like you couldn't be both a Christian and progressive?
It wasn't so much that I was told that I couldn't be both. It was that the thinking, the ability to be a Southern Baptist conservative evangelical thinker, that world is very busy. It comes with a lot of pomp and circumstance, different events and responsibilities. And so it wasn't until I went north that I could come up from the busyness, to have a breath, to look at the world with fresh eyes, and to have someone talk back to me with a language that I never heard before. It's almost like you become a part of something and it's ingrained in you. Mm-hmm. But when you're away from it, you're able to see something clearly different. And that's how my Brown college experience changed me.
So if I was to reframe that a little bit, mm-hmm. and always please correct me if I'm off base even a little bit, what I heard you say was you grow up in the dogma of your ancestors or family.
Absolutely.
Essentially, the equivalent of growing up in the home of mm-hmm. your family.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to a certain place where you didn't find your new home, but you knew your new home wasn't going to be living in your family's home forever, and you needed to create your own structure, your own way of expressing your faith, your conversation with God.
I think it was Sheryl Sandberg in her book, Bouncing Forward, where she talks about the importance of finding home and finding a place of safety. And it was me moving to a place in my life, college, where I could do just that, be safe and secure, to think for myself and to question for myself, and to ultimately love myself through the change. I think when we're talking about letting go of old things, when we're talking about taking the best of our past so that we can be transformed for our future, mm-hmm. it's not that we necessarily throw the baby out with the bathwater, but we certainly look at them with a way that that speaks to us, that really feeds our soul, really feeds our spirit. So we may be letting go some dogmas of one type, but we're taking on dogmas of another type that feed our spirituality.
Absolutely. And there was another thing you were saying within that, which was, you found a professor, mm-hmm. somebody in some way or fashion was an elder, mm-hmm. and more than you being able to talk to her, you said words like safe.
Yes.
And you were able to feel like you were being seen and being heard.
Absolutely.
Can you talk about the importance of just that?
Well, I think so often a lot of thinkers, many emotional writers, they use words like transformation, and they use words like resilience, and they use words like interchange. But what gets lost so often in the goodness of those words is the real need for the person who's receiving that word to feel safe and secure in the change. You know, when I can be in a space with one person or more persons who affirm me for where I'm at, even if I don't know where I'm at, they still affirm me and love on me and mm-hmm. hug me and smile at me and let me know everything's going to be all right. That somehow opens a pathway to understanding, or at least wonder, that creates the possibility for change and opportunity. I look at it as without that safety, without that security, those would have just been words that she shared with me. They wouldn't have gotten into my soul. But my soul was open because I felt secure in that space.
And that's huge. Mm-hmm. And so there's a ton of people out there right now that are feeling without that kind of container. They're feeling very insecure, very alone, very isolated. And like, there isn't anybody that actually can see them. What do you suggest for those people?
I think for those folks, particularly because I'm still one of those folks, what I mean by that is I don't think anyone in this world has it all together. What I mean by that is even when we express or we attain a place mm-hmm. of security, or shall we say knowledge in ourselves, that's only an opening to another chance of transformation and change. And that requires the same level of security and safety that I had before. It's almost like what Lao Tzu said again, that life is this mix of spontaneous and sure changes. We go from one spontaneous change to a sure change back to the spontaneity of life. It's this beautiful dance between both. And so for me, I see as I've attained my progressive thought as a pastor, I'm right back in that same place of asking myself a new set of questions. They may not be pertaining to my progressive movement, but now they're about, what does it mean to build community? What does it mean to be hospitable? What does it mean to be courageous in a broken world?
Right.
There's always a chance for questions and growth.
And I understand what you're saying, but mm-hmm. I'm talking to something slightly different.
Okay.
It's about that security, mm-hmm. that base mm-hmm. where you're seen by at least one person. And if a person isn't seen, mm-hmm. then sometimes they even become invisible to themselves, and
yes.
they can't even recognize their own strength, their own power, their own abilities in the mirror.
Yes, and I think I would say to that person, what gives you life? I would ask them, what gives you life? What really feeds your day? What makes you think a little differently than perhaps you thought before? Think about a time in your life when something wasn't going so right, and perhaps there was something that came along that gave you a different understanding. Maybe it was a book or a poem or a movie that you read, or a friend who called you and said just the right words at the right time. What can you gain from that past experience that you can maybe remix and apply to this new situation to find that safety in that affirmation for your life?
Absolutely beautiful. And my only thing that I'd add on to that is find one person.
Mm-hmm.
Find just one person mm-hmm. who doesn't need to change you
yes.
or fix you
right.
or heal you, but you just feel seen by.
Yes.
Because I guarantee everybody has at least one person. Mm-hmm. And that one person that sees you will be the rock, will be the foundation that you build your own life around.
Well said.
And we're going to take a short break.
Amazing.
We are here with Pastor Rod Eccles from the local Neighborhood Congregational Church. I almost tripped over myself completely on that. barely got it out. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX 93.5 FM, community-supported radio in Laguna Beach, California. Welcome back. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX 93.5 FM, community-supported radio in Laguna Beach, California. And believe it or not, that was a Prince song. I know. What can I say? All right. We are here with Reverend.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, well, hey.
I like that.
We could make you a doctor. It's all good with me. I don't care.
Okay.
Rod Eccles.
Yeah.
You know, let's just go straight to it.
All right.
You know, you talk about God a lot.
I do.
In your work. If you were going to ask God something, anything, what would you want to know?
I would ask the question that, frankly, I put before my church this morning. I'm glad you asked. The question is, what is hope? What is hope? And how do we have real hope in a time when many are feeling so hopeless?
It's a fascinating question, because if you go according to Buddhist belief, Buddhists believe that hope is one of the greatest obstacles that we have to overcome in this world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because in my understanding of it, hope has a great correlation to expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Help me understand what your picture of this is, if you would.
That is precisely the question I put before the church this morning. And if you don't mind, I'm going to pull out one more quote by Elie Wiesel, the acclaimed professor and Holocaust survivor. He offered a very provocative quote on this that I explored this morning at the church. And his quote simply is that hope is not a gift from God. It is something that only we can give each other. That really speaks to me.
Oof, you
powerfully.
Got me with that one. All
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I shared it this morning at the church, and I think I agree. I think that hope is that sort of patient expectation that we as human beings have the capacity and the opportunity to change this world. It's a task. It's not a gift. That's a very subtle difference, but I think it's important.
Interesting. So if we looked at hope not as a given,
mm-hmm.
but almost as a manner of service.
Yes, yes.
Then what we're doing is, in fact, by giving hope,
mm-hmm.
we are receiving hope.
That's how I
see
it.
We are becoming hopeful the more people that we could make hope contagious in.
Absolutely. And so as I shared with the church this morning, when we begin to sort of demystify that thinking as if it is a given, but then we take on the real task, here we go again,
mm-hmm.
of doing that work and being light and spirit to each other across religions, across understandings, across boundaries, building bridges, we can create a better world.
Amen, brother. I mean, I'm telling you, it's that if we could pass along to kids in Afghanistan,
mm-hmm.
hope,
mm-hmm.
people in Asia, people in all over the world, if they had hope,
mm-hmm.
then they wouldn't have a need to kill.
Right.
They wouldn't have a need to go out and wage war,
mm-hmm.
because there's nothing in it for them that's going to enhance how hopeful they already are, how much they recognize possibilities. And maybe that's really what we're talking about,
yes.
is teaching people to recognize that the world is full of possibilities.
Yes. As I see it, when I think about abundance, that is another way of thinking about exactly what you just said, that the world is full of possibility. As I shared with my people this morning, as they gave back to me, the simple truth is that in our country, even though there are a lot of things that we certainly could critique and judge about the way that our country is going and the way that it's being governed, at the end of the day, we still have an abundance of resources that would still be there if we met the needs,
mm-hmm.
right? Abundance is infinite. There is everything that we need within our power, within our capacity to transform this world and still have enough.
Well, that's
what hope is.
That's a fascinating thought, because I just read something not that long ago about that very thing. And what it said essentially, badly paraphrasing, mm-hmm. is that if we chose to, it's not that we couldn't end poverty.
Right.
It's not that we couldn't end war.
Yes.
It's simply about, what are our priorities?
Yes.
There is more than enough money in this world to feed every single person.
Yes.
Nobody has to go home hungry.
Right.
Now, what are we going to choose to do?
There's enough resource and opportunity to look at our jail system,
mm-hmm.
and see how we can radically change that. Yes, we want to hold people accountable for the things that they do, but we also do right to be restorative in creating pathways for reconciliation and also for them to be brought back into the community. Everything matters.
Well, yeah, if you're talking about the jail system, right now it's set up to be financially lucrative.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And it's also set up in a predominantly domineering masculine fashion.
Yes.
In that it is punitive.
Yes.
It's you hurt somebody, so we're going to hurt you.
Right. It's not restorative.
And what does that do for mm-hmm. anybody, whether it's those people directly
mm-hmm.
or the population at large?
Absolutely right. And to make it personal, just for 2 seconds, mm-hmm. Being an African-American male, the numbers, the proportionate numbers of African-American men who are a part of this system of punitive retribution, I think is reprehensible. And so from my perspective, both as a man, as a pastor, but also as a black man, I see a real need to change that conversation where we can create, again, reconciliation, possibility of restoration for those men, that they can be validated and seen and heard as who they are and given a chance to be brought back into life.
And I think I agree with that entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'd point to is what's been in the news lately. LeBron,
yes,
back in Ohio,
mm-hmm.
set up a school that took care of not only the children, mm-hmm. but the families of the children so that everybody else had stability mm-hmm. in order to create. Mm-hmm. Now, are we willing to create stability or just cage the instability? I mean, it really comes down to that. Are you willing to look at the issues that we have? There was a meme that I saw the other day, and I went and checked the facts. The amount of people shot by police compared to minorities that are shot by other is so disproportionate. What that is saying to me isn't that we shouldn't pay attention to the cops. It right. means instead we need to feed our families, and yes. everybody's our family.
Right.
We need to support and take the word community and understand that a community is not a microcosm. Mm-hmm. But it's a macrocosm. It's the world at large.
You're familiar with the thinking of being a both and kind of person?
Oh, yeah.
You just teased it out beautifully. We ought to be in an abundant way of living that says we can be both supportive and loving to our police officers and forces in this world mm-hmm. and at the same time providing security and safety and hope to disadvantaged communities and those who need to know that they matter too. We can do both.
Absolutely. We are here with Pastor Rod Eccles. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman. And now we're going to have a song from one of your parishioners, Terrell Washington Anansi, singing Make It Right.
All right.
Into my life and oh, and I'm reeling. You didn't understand my simple moral. It ended in nothing but silly, silly quarrel. Silly, silly quarrel. Hey. Look at what you done to me, baby. Look at what you done to my life. Oh, what you gonna do, yeah? What you gonna do now to make it right, make it right? Look at what you done to me, baby. Look at what you done to my life. Oh, what you gonna do, yeah? What you gonna do now? To make it right, make it right, make it right, make it right. Make it right, make it right, make it right, make it right. I never thought it would happen to me, but I guess it's just the way it's gonna be. When it comes down to who is guilty, it's really hard, it's really hard to break from the willing. It's a heart to break, break the willing, yeah. Look at what you done to me, baby. Look at what you done to my life. Oh, what you gonna do, yeah? What you gonna do now to make it right, make it right? Look at what you done to me, baby. Look at what you done to my life. Oh, what you gonna do now? What you gonna do now? When a hunter get captured by the game, the rules, they still remain the same. When I'm looking at you, I'm looking at me. A mere wanting is what we see. Gotta be it, gotta be it, gotta be it, gotta be the better one. The better one ought to make it right. And look at what you done to me, baby. Look at what you done to my life. Oh, what you gonna do, yeah? What you gonna do now to make it right, make it right? Look at what you done to me, baby. Look at what you done to my life. Oh, what you gonna do now? What you gonna do now? To make it right, make it right, make it right, make it right. Now what you gonna do to make it right, make it right, make it right, make it right? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do now to make it right, make it right, make it right? You gotta.
You gonna make it right. You gonna make it right.
Listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX 93.5 FM, community supported radio in Laguna Beach. The weather is the weather. How you dance with it is up to you.
Welcome back. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX 93.5 FM, community-supported radio in Laguna Beach, California. We are here with Pastor Rod Eccles. Pastor, I got to tell you, I am having a blast. It's like playing tennis with a phenomenal player, and I just get to raise my game. So thank you very much for joining us. I really, really appreciate it.
I feel the same way about you.
Well,
I really do.
All right, so before we do anything else, mm-hmm. let's give the congregation and the neighborhood a little plug.
Oh, yeah, thanks. So we're celebrating 75 years in Laguna this mm-hmm. year. So we're 75 years young, which is very exciting for us. I'm in my second year, and the church is riding strong in 75 years. So what we are, what we're doing is we're typically and strongly spiritually putting a loving face on Christianity. We love to see ourselves as a church where Christianity is a part of a larger conversation, a conversation with other faiths and those of no faith, because our guiding principle or our dogma, if you will, is love. We are standing on the side of love, and we look at that from several angles, but the largest ones are peace and justice. We want peace for ourselves, peace for this community, and we're also seeking justice for those here and abroad.
And, you know, a lot of people get scared off by the C word,
mm-hmm.
Christianity,
mm-hmm.
and I want them to hear what you just said
mm-hmm.
again, because what I heard you say was love,
mm-hmm.
peace,
mm-hmm.
and
justice.
Talk about, for a moment, if you would indulge me, how all three of those work in conjunction with each other.
Well, yeah, that's a really great question. And as I see it, they are sort of guiding principles. They are truly the foundation of a dogma that is about inclusion and about community. As I see it, for a church to be relevant and for a church to be about making a difference in this world and not another world and about touching people here as opposed to people some other place, we are all about having a conversation and opening our hearts to the possibility of the fact that we don't own the license on ultimate truth. We don't control consciousness. We are a piece of it. We are part of a larger spirit, a larger thrust in this time, a larger paradigm. And so for us, by being willing to say that we're not everything and all things, we are then able to look honestly upon ourselves and upon this community and upon this world and to authentically ask ourselves, well, what difference can we make where we are? What resources do we have that we can marshal that can be used to bring hope and to bring possibility to someone else? So if it's loving our LGBT community and bringing hope and inclusion to them, we'll do that. Mm-hmm. If it's speaking about peace and saying no to war, we'll do that. If it's looking at justice opportunities and saying that justice looks like helping immigrants and helping refugees and helping those who are less than, we'll do that. It's about action. It's about doing, because that love that comes from God, it's only fully realized in our doing on this earth.
But what I also heard you say was, let go of the over inflated, amplified, shadowy ego
mm-hmm.
in order to figure out your own passion about being of service, about being in love with yourself,
yes.
being in love with life,
absolutely.
And being able to make that energy magnetic, not only so it perpetuates in your own life, but so it grows in the world around you.
Absolutely. That's a really good way to put it. And are you familiar with the lotus flower? The lotus flower.
I am, but we're going to have to talk about that
talk
in the next hour.
Okay.
But before we do, if people want to find out more about the church or go to a service, how would they go about doing that?
They can go to our website, which is ncclaguna.org.
One more time.
ncclaguna.org.
And you could talk to Reverend Rod. Keep doing that.
Keep doing it.
I don't know why.
Please, Greg. Keep doing that for me. Thank you.
Maybe I'm foretelling the future. It could be.
Hey.
Next hour, and that number to call in if you'd like to speak with him is 949-715-5936. 949-715-5936. And you are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman, and we'll catch you at the top of the next hour.
My name is Greg Friedman. I am a modern version of those that have existed in every culture. I am a guide. For years, I have taken people all over the world to work with indigenous elders in exotic locations, only to show you that you are the magic, and we just help you realize it. It can be terrifying to look at our fears, and sometimes, even more so, to look at our strengths. I take you out into the wild, into the unknown, for an inner journey.
Welcome back. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX93.5 FM, community-supported radio in Laguna Beach, California. And, you know, from time to time, I will stop at this point and say, if you did not listen to the first hour, this is one of those shows you need to go back and check out the podcast. I am here this evening with Susan Huff, who is always a treasure and a gift, and newfound sparring partner, and I mean that in the most complimentary way, Pastor Rod Eccles. Pastor, it's a pleasure to be hanging out with you. Thank you.
It's an honor to be here, and I feel the same way. It's good to have a kindred spirit on the radio with me.
It really is a kick.
Yeah.
All right, and also we'll be taking your phone calls in a little bit if you'd like to call in. The number here is 949-715-5936. All right, we're going to jump in with a nice, easy, light question.
Mm.
What's your favorite prayer?
My favorite prayer, it comes from the book of Psalms, and it guides me in my thinking and my meditation. It simply says, "Be still and know that I am God." Now, people can put different things there, you know, higher power, spirit, whatever you want to call it. But it's be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am spirit. That mantra gets me through my day because things can be hectic. Things can be stressful. Things can not always go so well. But when I repeat those words to myself and when I remind them of my experience and my spirit, it helps me to recenter, to refocus, and to really think about again what's important. And what's important is my health. And what's important is my safety, and what's important is my heart. Because if those things are strong, I can change this world.
And say it one more time for us, please.
Be still and know that I am spirit.
You know, I think you and I have the same prayer, just a slightly different languaging.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think be still and know that I'm spirit and thank you are saying anything different whatsoever.
I agree.
You know, there was a high priest of the Ifa tribe from Yoruba, a man named Ayo. And I went, this sounds like a really, really bad joke from the Catskills, but I went to a place called the Magic Castle. Magic Castle is a private club for magicians only in Hollywood. And I was there with the chief of the Yaqui tribe, the high priest of the Yoruba tribe, and a future rabbi and me. And I'm sitting around like a little puppy just eating up everything these guys are saying because very different perspectives, but all the same message. And at one point, Io just got up and he said, every 5 minutes you should say, thank you, God. And he stood up and he said, thank you, God. And he was lit up. I mean, he was beaming. And I looked at him do that. And I went, I could try that. Mm-hmm. And then for a while afterwards, as much as I could remember, I can tell you, I was not perfect in every 5 minutes, but as much as I can remember, I just said, thank you, God. And I'll tell you, what happened on the outside was less important than what happened on the inside. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't that my circumstances changed to any degree,
right.
But my enjoyment of my circumstances, my gratification, was amplified ridiculously.
I think it was Ram Dass, who's one of my favorite sources. I love Ram Dass, and I'm sure you know Ram Dass. I don't have to ask you if you know Ram Dass. But for those out there who may not know Ram Dass, we encourage you to look it up. And there's a quote from Ram Dass that I just love so much, where he said, bad things happen. But we don't certainly want anyone to experience those bad things. But when those bad things do happen, my prayer is that you experience the grace of that bad thing. That is the mantra, the words that you tell yourself as you journey through that bad thing. It's kind of like you said before, Greg, this idea of the words being still and thinking and being grateful and being resilient in this life. These are forces of hope that help us to get through the trials and tribulations of life. They bring us among the waves, and they bring us to safety and security in our hearts and in our minds. Mm-hmm. It's almost like there's this, as you said before, the circumstance may not change in that moment per se, but our foundation, our orientation, our spirit and openness, they are somehow transformed.
Our experience
and our life
of the moment
is better. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, Rumi is one of my favorite poets.
Yes.
And one of those things that I read from him recently is, the wounds are the place where the light comes in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so you need to have an opening.
Don't you love how these writers and these thinkers are saying this amazing, abundant way of thinking about life from their own perspectives?
Mm-hmm.
And they speak to us at different times. It's almost like going into the marketplace and finding what you need in that moment.
Oh, yeah.
And for those out there who are struggling, that's one of the best things you can teach yourself, is that you can really treat it as if you're looking for the best fruit that you need for that moment in your life. And it may change from time to time, and that's okay.
And it's going to come from anywhere and everywhere.
Yes.
Next week, we are going to have a guest that I'm really excited about. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm not excited about you being here, but Dan Millman. Dan Millman wrote one of those books that was a catalyst for me in my spiritual path. He wrote a book called Way of the Peaceful Warrior.
Mm.
In this book, the elder, the wise man, the sage, was a mechanic.
Okay.
And one of the things that is really important is, it doesn't have to be a poet or a priest or a rabbi or a philosopher.
Right. Sure.
The garbage man, if you're awake, if you're aware, if you're listening, he's going to tell you what you need as clearly as any other
as
sage.
Anyone else. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful thing.
It is.
Now, let me flip-flop where we're going and take a complete 180.
All right.
What do you think about the whole concept of people being told to fear God?
Well, I think the concept of fearing God has gotten a bad rap.
Really?
What I mean by that is, I think that it has been used as a way to control minds and to cause people to think that they're somehow less than, that they don't have a voice, or that they don't matter, or that they're not ultimate in their existence. I think all of that is bunk. I think it's all negative, and I think it's hurt so much of our lives and so many people in and out of faith. So what I would say, the idea of fearing God is truly is an invitation. It's an invitation to be vulnerable and to be open and to be willing to accept that you're not God, that you don't have complete control over consciousness and life. And by accepting that you're a part of something larger, something more ultimate than yourself, then there's hopefully there's an openness or a pathway to gratitude and opportunity and sharing and transformation, because every day is a chance to grow and learn.
So now I need, and I'm asking this sincerely. Mm-hmm. I really am asking for your help. I'm asking you to educate me, mm-hmm. because what I hear you talking about isn't fearing.
Right.
It's respecting.
Yes.
Now, fearing God, mm-hmm. I don't understand at all. Why would I fear mm-hmm. a loving, benevolent force of the universe that is essentially you and I? Why would I fear myself? Why would I fear the other? Why would I build my foundation on fear?
Well, I'm not suggesting that you should.
Okay.
I'm not saying fear God. I am saying respect, and I am saying appreciate, and I am saying accept that my life, my existence, my story, my belief, mm-hmm. my religion, all of these are part of, as I'll say, a lotus flower that is dynamic and multicolored and many facets. And if I accept that basic premise, then it takes away the ego or the selfishness or the kind of self-centeredness that I think has hurt so many religions and torn apart so many communities.
First of all, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
As a whole, but I have to point out, you just circled around. We teased at the end of the first hour that we were going to talk about the lotus. And, you know, in all honesty, it dripped out my ear, but you went, oh, no. And you wove that sucker right back in. Nicely played. All right, let's talk about this lotus.
Hmm. Let's do it.
So before we left in the first mm-hmm. hour, you're talking about you wanted to make an analogy with the lotus. And what was that you wanted to refer to?
Well, just as an extension of what we were just talking about, I really see the divine, I really see spirit as a true dynamic force, a real beauty, a real sort of cacophony of color and opportunity. And so my Christianity, my faith, my belief, my theology, all these things, they are a doorway, but they're not the door. They are a step, but they're not the ultimate. They are a way of describing something that is ultimately indescribable. They are a piece of a story that is being worked out each and every day. I think it was MLK who said that the arc of history bends towards justice. And what he's talking about is the very real fact that we are part of a larger story. We're not the story. And that gives a sense of humility. That brings a humble approach to my life that frees me to be vulnerable and to be courageous and friendly and hospitable towards myself and to those around me. So the lotus flower, that whole visual, that whole foundation, it just humbles me and it helps me realize that I'm not God and I'm not the ultimate, but I am a part of a story and I want to claim my part in that story.
I got to tell you, you just described the mission statement, if you would, of this program more eloquently than I ever have. We say, not necessarily every week, but quite often, our job is to introduce you to pathways and possibilities. What you do with that is entirely up to you. We're not telling you this is the way. We're simply saying this is a way. And if it works for you, if it resonates, groovy. And if it doesn't, just like trying on clothes in a store. That's I don't right. want you wearing something that doesn't fit, that's itchy, that's out of style, or just funky, or you don't like for whatever reason. But I want you to know that it's out there as an option.
Beautiful.
And, you know, talking about the lotus flower, mm-hmm. one of the things that I love most about the lotus flower is the most beautiful lotus flowers grow in the murkiest, dirtiest,
yes, they come
through
from
the
dirt.
Water.
Yes,
they come
That's right.
through it to blossom mm-hmm. gorgeously. Mm-hmm. And you know, each one of us has mud in our lives.
Ooh.
There is nobody, I mean nobody, that goes without having some kind of dirt, without having some kind of struggle, without have something that they have to fight through and work through. And to use that lotus flower as the analogy helps you remember that we are in the process of blossoming at all times.
The story unfolding.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Opening to the sun, mm-hmm. opening to ourselves, opening to the world around mm-hmm. us. Mm-hmm. We are going to take a short break. We are here with Pastor Rod Eccles, and you are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman.
You guys look great! We got some back in black for you. Ready? Oh, yeah.
Listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX 93.5 FM, community-supported radio in Laguna Beach, California.
All right, you guys, we're going to rock and roll, and now time is going to fly. Also, if you do not know, next week we have Dan Millman, who wrote Way of the Peaceful Warrior. Tune in. You will love it. I guarantee it. As much, maybe not more, but as much as you're enjoying tonight with our guest, Pastor Rod Eccles. Pastor, I got to tell you, I am having such a blast hanging out with you. Thank you very much for joining us.
I'm feeling the same way about you, Greg. And I must say, being here tonight has truly been a blessing for me, not just because I get to be on with you, but also because I get to be in the company of someone who appreciates the diversity of thought and the beauty of wonder. There are so many great thinkers and so much great wisdom. We can't get enough of it. Just can't.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to your congregation. You know, there is community thrown around all over the place.
Yes.
What does that word mean to you? And it's a two-parter. Mm-hmm. What can we each do to make community worldwide?
That's a fabulous two-parter. And how I would tackle it first from my church perspective is we see community making as an acceptance of being on a journey. We are seekers. We're seeking wisdom. We're seeking hope together. And ultimately, we're trying to stand on the side of love together. Mm-hmm. That means that our church is open. That means we're affirming. And that means we're welcoming of all people, no matter whether they're Christian or another faith or no faith. Mm-hmm. To us, that is what it means to make community here in Laguna and abroad. And when it comes to sort of building community, I guess you can say beyond borders, if you will, it really goes back to what makes someone come alive, whether it's in a creative mindset or maybe it's music making or playwriting, or even if it's something as simple as sitting around and reading books and sharing good wisdom together. I really feel the value of intentionality, intentional groups where people can be like-minded, sharing and growing together. That's how you build community.
Or even not like-minded. We don't have to be like-minded. True. Because a lot of times, some of my greatest growth mm-hmm. has gone with somebody that is adamantly juxtaposed to my own position.
And when someone says they want to be like-minded, sometimes it can be intentional in a way where we seek different voices. We're intentional. We're mm-hmm. like-minded in our desire to learn from someone else. I'll give you a good example of that. I'm in a clergy group with several pastors and reverends who are both on the evangelical and on the progressive side of things. And we are very intentional that when we get together, we discuss topics that are wide-ranging and not necessarily unifying, but they can be edifying. They feed us, they teach us, and ultimately they guide us in our lives as pastors.
Go back, because you just said a phrase that was absolutely gorgeous. Mm. Not necessarily unifying,
yes.
but edifying.
Edifying.
Explain for our listeners a little bit more about that concept, because it really is gorgeous.
The best way I can describe it is maybe one of our recent groups. So we recently got together via social media. It was a group chat, if you mm-hmm. will. And our topic that night had to do with the recent decision that was made by the Pope, the leader of the Catholic Church, uh-huh. where he came out very adamantly against the death penalty. And I'm very much against the death penalty, so I celebrated his decision and continue to celebrate his decision.
Absolutely.
But my group has members who were against what he said. Mm-hmm. And this became a teaching opportunity. This became a learning opportunity between them who were on one side and us who were on his side. All of a sudden, we were talking about sacred texts. We were talking about different thinkers on the subject. We were looking at political leaders who've spoken out. It became a very educational, very eye-opening sort of look into how people think and what makes them tick. And ultimately, it helps me become a better teacher, because when I'm trying to share something with my congregation, I'm much more thoughtful now about what they might be thinking about something that they may not agree with me with.
Yeah, it's the difference between going through life with blinders on mm-hmm. and going, hey, look, this is my world, and
right.
then having somebody take them away.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you see all these different colors, taste all these different flavors,
right.
and have these entirely different experiences
right.
that aren't necessarily going to change how you feel in your basic philosophy,
mm-hmm.
but make you more compassionate, empathetic, understanding of how other people feel.
And I'll say selfishly, it also makes us better professionals. It makes us better thinkers. It makes me a better preacher. When I have an understanding that people don't agree with me on everything, which I can't believe because why wouldn't they? It makes me much more willing to meet them where they are and to ask the hard questions, to try to seek after that which they're looking for in their lives that they may not have. But ultimately, to be a listening ear. And to learn from that experience. I love to put before my church two questions sometimes. Those questions are, what do you need more of in your life? And what do you need less of in your life? I think if I can find the equilibrium or the balance between mm-hmm. what I need more of and what I need less of, I have a richer life. What I can use more of is those edifying conversations mm-hmm. where I'm talking to folks who may not agree with me on everything. I mean, I feel pretty good about my progressivism, but I can also stand to be around evangelicals and conservatives who may have a different perspective. It's good to have a check every now and then. What could I use less of? I can use less fear. I can use less sort of division in this world. It's draining. It takes away my energy. I need to be away from that.
And are you talking internal as well as external when you say fear and division is something you could use less of?
I mean external. I'm talking about this world. I'm talking about press and outlets who frankly are not edifying. They're not feeding or guiding. They're dividing and conquering through their coverage.
Because I can agree with you about the exterior, but mm-hmm. I got to tell you, for me personally, mm-hmm. I could use less of that in my interior world as well.
I hear you.
You know, it's something that I would love to say, put a check mark by and go, I got that down. It's no big deal.
Sure,
but the truth of the matter is, it's a process and I'm in it and I am at the stage where I am.
You know, I that's a very interesting thought. And since you put it that way, as I think about it with you now, Greg, I can certainly think in my own life, one area where I certainly could see some less of going on probably would have to do with, you know, less hurriedness. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I think because I have so many things going on in my life and they're all good things, they all matter. Sometimes making the priority about what truly matters and being more thoughtful about caring for myself and my body and my spirit, my mind, these things can only help me. They can only make me stronger and much more resilient for the days and years to come. I could use that much more in my life.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That seems to be a natural segue into what I wanted to ask you next.
Okay.
There are 5.9 billion people in this world that are expressing a desire for peace and yet seem unable to attain it. What's the obstacle? What is it between us humans and peace?
You know, as I think about that question, I'm reminded of the very real thought that my mom told me not too long ago, that great wise woman in my life. We were having a conversation about some things that were transpiring in the family and indeed around the country. And she started to go down this journey of thought around how we deal with trials in our lives and how we face the hard obstacles in our lives. And she said something to me that sticks in my brain to this day. She said, Roderick, no matter what happens or how it happens or even how it comes and goes, she said, the one thing that I believe will always be true, whether it's today, tomorrow, or for the years to come, is that real baseline or that definition of resilience. And that is, this too shall pass. She said, if I can remind myself that this too shall pass, whatever that this is, then I am able to look at my situation and my life with vulnerable and compassionate eyes and see a way to peace for myself, within myself, and with the wider world. This too shall pass has been a part of my life, thanks to my mom, in recent days.
So it's a sort of what we began this program with, which mm-hmm. is it's a process of letting go in
yes.
order to have.
Yes.
I love how it comes full circle.
This too shall pass.
Absolutely. Now, That was the serious part. The other part is I caught on something, and I can't help it because I'm a juvenile, and I had to giggle. So your mom calls you Roderick?
She does.
Uh-huh. And what does she call you when you're in trouble?
she calls me something else.
Do you get middle named? It's like, oh, now I know I'm in it.
It depends on the severity of the violation. Let's put it that way.
I understand perfectly. All right. So I want you to say one word as a tease for what we're going to talk about next. And I think you know the word that I'm talking about.
All right.
And it has to do with something coming up in your congregation, in your church, that is not only vital for the immediate community, but for a much larger community. What's the word I'm thinking of?
Well, if you're thinking about the word I'm thinking about, that word is mosaic.
And we'll be back with more Inner Journey and Rod Eckers right after this.
Take that night train to Memphis. Take that night train to Memphis. When you arrive at the station, well, I'll be right there to greet you. I'll be right there to meet you. Don't turn down my invitation. Take that night train to Memphis. Take that night train to Memphis. You know how I'm longing to see you. Leave at 3:57. Get there at 11. I'll be shouting hallelujah all the way. Hallelujah. Shout hallelujah all the day.
that night train to Memphis. Take that night train to Memphis. Tell the engineer to keep the throttle open. Keep that engine stack smoking. I'm not kidding, I'm not joking. I'll soon be with my girl, I'm hoping. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We'll be shouting hallelujah all day. And we're gonna have a jubilee. Memphis, Tennessee, we're gonna shout hallelujah all the way. We're gonna shout hallelujah all the way.
All right. Welcome back. That sound that you heard in the background was your pastor and mine coughing. It happens. Pastor Rod, welcome back to Inner Journey.
Thank you. Good to be here. Alive.
Right. It's good to have you here. I got to tell you, everybody in this room is just lit up and having a blast, and it has to do with your presence. So thank you for that.
I'm grateful. Thank you.
All right. There was a word you said. Do you happen to remember that word?
Mosaic.
Mosaic. And what does that word mean?
Well, our church, for many years, has been in a sort of a conversation about itself, that church being Neighborhood Church, by the way, a conversation with itself about how it can accomplish two things. One, beautify its campus, because we do have a very beautiful historic campus on St. Anne's Drive.
It's gorgeous.
And we're also looking to engage the wider community because we're about building community. We talk about it a lot. We actually want to try it from time to time. Makes sense, right?
Crazy, isn't it?
So we got together as a leadership, and we decided that one prime opportunity exists on the retaining wall that fronts the Glen Eyrie on our campus. Mm-hmm. If anyone's driven by our campus on St. Anne's at the intersection with Glen Eyrie, you've seen this wall. It's not the most attractive wall.
Okay, so you need to know this show is broadcast across the country. So a lot of people don't know these things you're telling about.
Yeah.
So we are in Laguna Beach. Laguna Beach is this gorgeous beach community.
Yes, yes, yes.
And there is a beautiful street that runs all up and down the coast called Pacific Coast Highway. In Laguna Beach, there's a street that parallels that.
Yes.
Called?
Glen Eyrie.
And the church is on just a block off of the beach, more or less. And there is this, it is a gorgeous facility. It really is a beautiful church. And there's one aspect of it where y'all been looking at going, it needs something.
It needs something.
It needs, and what is it? I can't imagine what those conversations went like getting to the word mosaic.
Well, I'll tell you, we were fortunate because through the beauty of sort of experience, I learned that our church has had several conversations about this in the past. What we didn't have was the wisdom and knowledge and excitement of an artist who could take our vision and bring it alive until now. We were able to connect with the artist of the year, Mike Tauber. And Mike Tauber came to us and offered himself to create a design for a tile mosaic on the wall. All we had to do was share our heart, our vision, our openness, our spirituality, our inclusiveness, our welcoming spirit, our loving attitude, all these things. And we said, Mike, would you take this and would you bring it alive visually? And he did just that. So he designed a amazing color bleed. This color bleed is quite sophisticated. It has a very ethereal, very beautiful, very thoughtful approach because it doesn't just fulfill the spirituality requirements of our church, but it also speaks to the natural and elegant aspects of this region. It's called From Coastline to Canyon. And as you look at it, you see the true combination, mixture of all the elements that make this region what it is, the green aspects, the water aspects, the radiating light that we enjoy in our region. They're all incorporated into this beautiful, sophisticated piece of art.
I love that because a lot of the work I do for myself and with others has to do with the Native American medicine wheel, where there's earth, air, fire, water.
Yes, yes.
And what I'm hearing you say is in the same way that that medicine wheel represents who we are as humans, and our experience that goes from the terrestrial to the ethereal. so does your wall.
It does. So it fulfills both requirements. It speaks to the elegant openness of the lotus flower that we discussed before, but it's also a huge nod to this region, its beauty, its serenity, its scenic aspects, and its real spiritual underpinnings. So I see it as quite a dynamic piece, and it's something that I think we'll be proud of as a church and also the wider community. So for those who are listening, this tile mosaic is an opportunity for you. I'm going to encourage you to go to our website, ncclaguna.org.
Way too fast.
Okay.
That's the one that you definitely have to slow down for.
ncclaguna.org.
ncclaguna.org.
Yes. So go there and check out the beautiful summary of this design. Mm-hmm. You'll see the color sort of rendering. You'll see its sophisticated aspects, and you'll see that you can participate in many ways. We're going to have workshops where people of all ages will have a chance to come and to glaze tiles. How
really?
Exciting.
You get to go there and glaze tiles.
You get to come and glaze tiles.
That's so cool.
And then on top of that, if you're so inclined, if you want to be a part of the action, you can actually be a part of the installation itself this fall.
And when is the installation going
to
be?
We're looking to do that in late October as well as November.
Okay.
So what we see here is a chance for hundreds of people to come to our campus, to be a part of the installation, to glaze tiles, and to help us to create something that will be a lasting legacy for our church and for the wider community.
Yeah, you know, when we were off air, you and I were talking about something, mm-hmm. and it ties in here to me, mm-hmm. is we're talking about a lot of different dogmas will preach church first,
yes.
and message second.
Sure.
And to me, what I was saying off air was that means they're so busy trying to sell the institution that they forgot that the message
right.
is strong enough. They don't trust the message
yes.
is strong enough in order to bring the people to it
right.
and then spread it. Mm-hmm. And what I hear you saying is, I don't hear, every time I ask you to plug the church, you're like, oh. and I know you do that because it's not your priority. Mm-hmm. Your priority is, let me spread this message. And if it's important to you, you'll come.
Yes.
You'll find a way, because you always do when you need to be where you need to be.
That's right. When people get a chance to see this color bleed and its dynamism and its beauty, I hope they'll see and feel the same energy I have. They'll think beyond the typical dogmas, and they'll see the real principles that it embodies, the grace, the elegance, the peace, the inclusion, all the things that make Neighborhood Church what it is, but more importantly, what make this region what it is. I hope that people will see this in whatever the background, whatever the faith, no faith, understandings, no understandings, you will feel a need, you'll feel a passion, you will feel a desire to be a part of this project, because it truly is for all of us.
That was beautiful. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back, unfortunately, with the last question of the evening. We'll be back with more Pastor Rod and Inner Journey with Greg Friedman right after this.
You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX 93.5 FM, community-supported radio in Laguna Beach, California.
Welcome back. You are listening to Inner Journey, and this evening we are hanging out with Pastor Rod, and we have come to that place that I often find incredibly sad, especially when I have people like you and Rod who are fascinating and stimulating and share so much wisdom in so many different ways. So I got to ask you the last question of the night. Is there anything you'd feel remiss in not sharing with our listeners?
You know, I really just want to thank you first, Greg, for having me here tonight. I feel that we share a kindred bond that is so powerful and so obvious to me that I hope we can do this again very soon.
Yeah.
I really
hope
so. For those who are listening, I'm grateful for you as well for being with us tonight. There are a couple things I do want to share. The first is, if you heard about the tile mosaic a few minutes ago and you're asking yourself, how can I get involved in that? Where do I go? Where do I sign up? Well, just as a reminder, please go to the Neighborhood Church website, which is ncclaguna.org. Again, that's ncclaguna.org. And there you can sign up for the email list to get more information. I hope to see you later this summer and in the fall for the installation of this tile mosaic. Before I sort of say goodnight to you, I just want to offer a quick story. When I was coming up in college about 10 to 15 years ago, and I was going through a very hard time in my life, things weren't perfect. They were actually going the opposite direction, sort of spiraling down. I had a chance to meet a really good friend of mine to this day, but at the time, I didn't know him at all. He had just heard of me. He knew I was the preacher on campus. He had heard that I was the guy that carried around the Bible and did the gospel radio show and all those things. And so he just stopped me in my tracks and said, I just got to ask you a question. And he said, do you believe that God loves me? Do you believe that God loves me? And I said, well, I love you. So that means God loves you. And as I said, I was having a hard time that week, that month. Things weren't going well, but I had a chance in that moment to encourage someone else and to let them know that they were loved. And that's really what I want to leave you with tonight. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're dealing with in your life. Things may not be going well, but you're not alone. There are people listening. There are people not listening who are going through tough trials just like you. And I want you to know that you are loved. And I think for those of us who are always seeking ways to make a difference in this world, just know that just by telling someone that they're not alone and that they are loved makes all the difference. And so I hope you'll find a way, a pathway, or at least appreciate the opportunity to do the same.
And all I can say to that is amen, brother. Yeah, I agree entirely. If you're feeling low, if you're feeling down, be of service. Spread, make somebody else smile. Mm-hmm. Tell somebody else that they're loved.
Yes.
And it will come back to you, I promise.
I agree.
And I say this every single week. There are a ton of people that make this show possible. They work their tushies off behind the scenes for that and so much more. We are hugely grateful. But I'm going to tell you this. If you want to get a hold of me on or us on social media, it's Inner Journey with Greg Friedman. If you want to email more questions to us, it's greg@gregfriedman.com. And I say this every single week. This show does not exist without your participation. For that, and so much more. We are hugely grateful. You've been listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman. Good night.
I am Subonku Somei, and you have been listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman.